Now, we'll begin the second half of this broadcast. This is number 644. It's April the 9th, 1984. And the second half of this broadcast is going to be dedicated to a great philanthropist. I mentioned several weeks ago or last week that Mr. Sasakawa, Mr. Royishi, R-Y-O, Royishi, I-C-H-I, Sasakawa, S-A-S-A-K-A-W, 84, is coming to UCLA. He's going to give $1 million to the University of California in Los Angeles, and he'll be down there in April. The Los Angeles Times admitted he's a controversial Japanese philanthropist, chairman of the Japan Building Promotion Association. That's 90% mafia, whereby they raise like $7 billion a year. Doesn't it sound very nice? Japan Building Promotion. A gift from the flamboyant. He's flamboyant. Sasakawa, known for his ultra-nationalism, which means he hated America during World War II, and his philanthropy since, which means he's been giving out money to buy respectability. He's going to give money for such fields as physics, heaven help us, medicine, which is worse, and law, which is outrageous. There's Mr. Liebler of the Warren Commission teaching law down there so they can give grants to people to find out why the Warren report was true. The article does say that he was a Class A war criminal, whatever that means. He was charged with contributing to Japan's wartime militarism, but he was never tried. That was the trick, the catch-22. He never was tried as a war criminal. He was kept in 3 years, and then he was let out to do his thing and spread anti-communism all over the world, which is all right, but he spread fascism and not anti-communism. They say he's given $5 million to finance the study of a bullet train between Los Angeles and San Diego. He gave $30 million to the United Nations and so forth. It tells about the money he's been spreading around. And I mentioned before Mr. Sasakawa. Just this last week, that famous speech at the time of Pearl Harbor bombing, the days of infamy was found in the archives in Washington, D.C. That famous day, December the 8th, 1941, when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. And Roosevelt said that we'll live in infamy. It's interesting that the very same time that this speech was found in the National Archives and had been misplaced all these years was a time when the powers that be were deciding that Mr. Sasakawa would come to UCLA and begin funding money to law, medicine, and so forth. Roosevelt, I believe, would turn in the grave many times over. Now, I have several sources on Sasakawa. I'm going to do one particular one because it's very good journalism and it's long and extensive going into his background. If I have time, I'll do the others. And if I also have time, I want to go into the Japanese mafia connections to the murder of John Lennon because of Mr. Sasakawa's relationship to being in New York in Central Park and working with the Japanese mafia and the members of our intelligence, such as Mr. William Colby and Richard Allen and Max Ugel, our Department of Counterintelligence in Japan that's closely related to Japanese mafia, and you can't shake this man very far off away from that. Now, Mr. Sasakawa is very important. This article was in Village Voice, October the 4th, 1983. If your libraries have it, you can copy it. I outlined it for you to give you just some idea of who he is, because there won't be hardly a week after I cover this subject, if I can do it in 25 minutes, that we won't go back to parts of these articles on Sasakawa. He was in New York for a humanitarian award in May of 83, the Helen Keller International Award for the World Health Organization. In May of 79, he had a ceremony in Central Park. He gave 150 flowering cherry trees between 59th and 72nd East. 72nd East is where it stopped. 72nd West is where John Lennon was murdered. Sasakawa was in New York, and he has a Japan-U.S. foundation with Henry Kissinger on the board of that foundation, and he was there in New York disseminating a lot of money, and the institute is run by the Central Intelligence Agency by a gentleman that worked in the CIA with him, Richard W. Petree, P-E-T-R-E-E. He was in a Tokyo embassy. He's the president of the foundation. He works with Henry Kissinger and Robert Anderson, chairman of the Rockwell International Corporation, which is building the space stations, and William French Smith is the attorney for that company, and some very prominent people, Robert Sarnoff of RCA. But the important thing is Henry Kissinger is linked absolutely to Sasakawa, And our whole intelligence community, the Trilateral Commission, linked to this Japanese politician who's doling out the big bucks and buying his respectability. He's reported to be a friend of the Yakuza, Y-A-K-U-Z-A, which is the Japanese mafia. And the Japanese mafia was involved in Beverly Hills with that story of the Wells Fargo Bank. I went into that in the links to Ronald Reagan and what that could mean if that were properly exposed, that $300 to $400 million that was missing. And Mr. Smith went to jail for a short time and reduced the missing amount to like $20 million. He said it had to do with the Japanese mafia. And because this man has so much power in our government, I have to go back to some of the stories of the Japanese mafia and the Japanese with Henry Kissinger and Gerald Ford and William Colby and the CIA and realize how many places their stories overlap. He is called the world's wealthiest fascist. He was given a UN Peace Medal. No one protested there. He's been buying international reputations. This is all according to this one story in the Village Voice that I'm sharing with you. He buys his reputation by handing out money. He gave United Nations $38 million. That'll make you respectable. In San Francisco in 1983, he was at the Linus Pauling dinner. It was a medal for humanitarianism that was given to Mr. Sasakawa. He gave $770,000 to the Pauling Institute of Science. And speaking with him were prominent people. The awards committee has Dr. Armin Hammer, David Packer, and Dianne Feinstein, and Carl Sagan, who pushes the space stations, and the interpreter, because Mr. Sasakawa does a lot of things with not any English language ability, came from J. Walter Thompson in New York, the public relations firm that was run out of Mullen Associates, the account that played such a big part in Watergate. J. Walter Thompson is a big agency, but it also is involved with massive espionage, the Howard Hughes Organization, the Central Intelligence Agency, and the Defense Department. That doesn't mean that everybody that J. Walter Thompson deals with has to do with spying, but it means that they also deal with the largest spy agencies in the United States. And when Mr. Sasakawa travels, the interpreter, as if there isn't a Japanese interpreter on the Pacific coast, there's a lot of Japanese in San Francisco. They have to bring in one from the J. Walter Thompson agency. He wanted to get a casino over in New Jersey in 1979. But the investigative committee found that he couldn't do that. The deal fell through. He lost $27 million trying to get it together because they had evidence that he was linked to the Japanese mafia and they didn't want to get started. He also is very close to Mr. Marcos in the Philippines. He tried to take over an island of Lubang. The idea was to have pleasure trips. It was an outdoor brothel, and he wanted Marcos to grant him this pleasure, this tourist paradise, for sex tours for Japanese males, and they would have private companies go and visiting businessmen. This is what J. Edgar Hoover was in and Adolf Hitler. The whorehouses for politicians and war contracts, like Howard Hughes Organization with Mr. Robert Meyer, the M-E-I-E-R. It was John Meyer, rather, not Robert Meyer. There were two Meyers, but the one M-E-Y-E-R who provided all the prostitutes. He was run over by a car down in Florida not too many years ago, about 2 years ago. He has close links, Mr. Sasakawa, to our Central Intelligence Agency to spy money, and he was linked to the Lockheed scandal. Of course, you know the payoffs that went on. There are some books on it and articles on the payments given out everywhere from Sasakawa over in Japan to Prince Bernhard in Holland. There were a dozen post-war scandals, and he was a part of all of them. He's Tokyo's equivalent of Mr. Wall Street. He's well known. You know, with this kind of bucks, you would be. He started with a Japanese Shipbuilding Industry Foundation, JSIF. And according to this research, it is a nerve center for his financial empire. And it was built with billions of dollars. The Japanese government put in money to the shipbuilding firm, and they have racing, boat racing. And they have recycled approximately $10 billion from the gambling for him to distribute to what they call public good, but which goes into the World Anti-Communist League. And also he had very close ties to Mussolini, and it goes to Italy. And it's a recycled amount of money, started with a boat story, which is unbelievable, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. The ship company is under the control of Japan's Ministry of Transportation, but what they did after the war was to take a well-known war criminal and a group of his ilk that were in jail together but weren't charged and just walked out and set up a nonprofit foundation. And then Japan would get some of the money and he'd get some, and then they could begin distributing their love all over the world, so you wouldn't think of Japan as war criminals. The worst criminals weren't put on trial or exposed, and the others had unlimited money in cahoots with the Japanese government to promote fascism one more time around. There was a newspaper in Tokyo that criticized him. He threatened to destroy the paper. It was Japan's most influential paper. It accused him of using his gambling money for his own purposes. He put pressure on the bank and held up the accounts and tried to withhold loans and financial help. I told you how Mr. Rupert Murdoch went into Chicago, and in an hour and a half he bought up the Chicago Sun-Times. Allegedly, one of the reasons is that nobody would talk against Edwin Meese. Sasakawa right now is worth between $60 million and $1 billion, reported in Barron's, which isn't too much. The way he distributes it, and if he's in the mafia and the boat thing, he can recycle that money and get new money next year. It's not that he has to drill for oil every time or find a new gold mine. He just gets the gambling thing going, like Las Vegas and the casinos in New Jersey or elsewhere around the world, and he has money. He's called by the Japanese in Japan by the title of the Kuromaku, K-U-R-O-M-A-K-U, which means black curtain, the man behind the curtain, the powerful broker, the kingmaker, the manipulator, one of the inordinately wealthy Japanese who control the ruling liberal democratic party. And the article goes on to say that the party is not liberal and it's not democratic, just like after the Russian Revolution, whether it was Marxism or communism. The Hitler used the National Socialist paper because socialism sounded like social benefits for the poor and the women and children, and that's what fascism. This party was formed by Sasakawa after the war. The article says in 1931 he had another political group called the Kokusai Tashuto, T-A-I-S-H-U-T-O. The first name is K-O-K-U-S-U-I. The Tashuto was a patriotic people's party. 1931 was that period just 2 years before Adolf Hitler came to power. Ultra-nationalists in Japan, and they had assassination teams. He was a part of assassination teams. And this fascist organization was killing the prime ministers in Japan just as the political leaders in Germany were being killed from 1919 to 1924, 200 or 300 or 400 of them. His technique was political assassinations, blackmail, and spying. Nothing has changed because the same people are alive and the same people are running our intelligence community. So when the OSS becomes the CIA, the techniques that Sasakawa and Mussolini and Hitler used are the ones we use. That is the heart of America that went down the cesspool and the drain that Frank Church was talking about, because these are the people whose methods we incorporated. In 1942, he was elected to the Japanese wartime parliament. They wore black shirts identical to Italy Mussolini, and he's been photographed with Mussolini. He had close ties to Italy, as did Charles Willoughby, who was Carl Weidenbach, the head of Douglas MacArthur's intelligence, who worked with Sasakawa after the war. The fascist activities during the war, the charges he had were plundering strategic materials and various war crimes, and he also was part of murdering politicians earlier. But against the United States, he had various charges as this war criminal, participation in a conspiracy for the preparation of aggression of war. He was taken into a prison, the Sugamo prison in Japan, December the 11th, 1945. Douglas MacArthur's staff interrogated them. They were probably handing them lollipops and ice cream bars. They finished their report. Their report said that Sasakawa, in quotes, in summary, he appears to be a man potentially dangerous to Japan's future, not much less ours. He's squarely behind Japanese military policies of aggression. This was in 1945. He's more anti-foreign than 20 years earlier. He's a man of wealth. He's not too scrupulous about the uses. He chafes for continued power. He's not above wearing any new cloak that opportunism may offer. That was the report. Just as you remember the report of Mr. Dornberger, Walter Dornberger, in Project Paperclip, how he was supposed to be put, hung at Nuremberg because he wanted another war and he couldn't be trusted. Well, we had a German coming in to manage the Bell helicopter in Fort Worth, between Fort Worth and Dallas, and this guy is to manage the government and the dispensing of money after the war with this record. He was released 18 of his buddies were there with him in the prison, and 3 years later they walked out. And then this article goes on to say that the journalists at the time believed that the United States intelligence made a deal with Sasakawa. They believe it, but I believe it too, to use them, to use him and his other war criminals to undercut Japan's growing labor movement and the left wing. He undercut it fine. In Japan, you get a job, you stay in the same place your entire life. There's no such thing as organizing or striking. You work where you are until you die. And he really fixed that good. And the CIA had as much to do with the elections in Italy and in Japan, keeping the working poor down and making sure that the war criminals were released to handle the native population. We did this in Grenada, where we opened up the jails and let the mongoose squad of Sir Eric Gary loose to get the native population and the labor organizers that were there until the United States planned the coup. But getting back to this article, they quoted the New Republic in 1976. It didn't say which date, that said that the CIA had a major role in creating Japan's ruling Liberal Democratic Party, and Yoshio Kodama, K-O-D-A-M-A, was one of the people working with Mr. Sasakawa. He was his cellmate. They walked out together, and Kodama was active also in the Fascist Party earlier and then went to become the supreme boss of the Japanese underworld. And I can do more on Kodama later. That is an interesting name, and I'll update those parts of Kodama. Kodama and Sasakawa were released from prison in Japan, and they were welcomed back by the old anti-communists from the Sugamo prison, ready for the Cold War in Asia, and the Allies used Japan and the Red Scare in the 1950s. It was communism to watch, and he became one of the prime founders of the Liberal Democratic Party, and he was very instrumental in getting that going. Another cellmate, Nobusuke Kiski, N-O-B-O-S-U-K-E-K-I-S-K-I, another inmate from the same prison, became the Prime Minister of Japan in 1961. You know, the American government and Mr. Donovan of the OSS, William Donovan, and Alan Dulles and John McCone and John McCloy, they thought they were so cute putting these people into power again, but they're going to feel the pain. The American industry is going to see it, the competition, they're going to feel it. The arms race, Japan, pretty soon they're going to realize, if we live long enough to see the proper people scolded for what they did, people are going to realize what happened. The long stretch of the elastic of the American dream that's been stretched so far, it's ready to snap. And these are the kind of people that our so-called leaders put in after the war. They didn't want charged with crimes. They wanted to use them. Now, the Japan Motorboat Racing Association, they described the Sasakawa legend of how he got started. He was in prison, and this is the cute little story, in the late 40s, and he was reading a Life magazine. Isn't that nice? Put out by Henry Luce, another member of the Knights of Malta, his wife Claire Luce, an instrument of the Cold War, first time adoring Hitler and Mussolini and putting their pictures on covers and adoring the fascists all over the world. And then when the war was over, building them up again. Well, Life magazine printed an article about American hydroplane racing. You can believe this a coincidence, or you don't have to. You can think it's conspiratorial if you want. But Life magazine prints a story on racing, and a man is sitting in a Japanese prison, and he sees it. He says, that's what I would like to do to help the business recover in Japan. That would help Japan. So the key element was cooperating with Japan. So this article says Sasakawa cut a deal. That's the expression I use with Reinhard Gehlen and Alan Dulles after the war, cutting a deal to become part of our American establishment. So this fellow cut a deal, and what happened was that he began to set up a motorboat company with racing and windows and so forth, and the racing business grossed $7.4 billion. Sasakawa would get 9% of the racing to do you know, to use for his activities outside of Japan, and 1% went to other organizations. And the Japan Shipbuilding Industry Foundation would dole out the money, and they were the group that were controlling the gambling and called the shipbuilding. And the idea, as I say, came when he read Life magazine while he sat in jail with the future prime minister. Isn't that cute? The future prime minister of Japan, and he's reading this story about these boats. There a lot of scandals about him, an allegation of race fixing. There were riots at the stadium because the races were fixed. There were stories of bribes from local racing associations because of an audit. There was the death of an official, a suspect of the bribery. who died in front of a train, and the constant presence of mobsters and Japanese mafia and Mr. Sasakawa, they go hand in hand, and he boasts about his association with the Japanese mafia, the Yasuko. He thinks that's cute. In Japan, it isn't wrong to advertise the mafia any more than it is for the President of the United States to have Frank Sinatra giving the inaugural ball, or John Mitchell being Attorney General, or Paul Axalt from Las Vegas raising the money for the Republican Committee. The mafia is respectable in every sense of the word, and these people wouldn't be as around. And he bragged about his mob connections. He's called the Godfather, and he's very much a part of the Japanese mafia. And, of course, our CIA, William Colby and Max Ujel and Richard Allen and all of them are very close. Remember the story after John Lennon was murdered, and we'll get back to it again, how he had money from Japan right after the inauguration. And I had reason to believe, because of the chain of command of our CIA to the Japanese mafia and the powers that be, that was a payoff for killing John Lennon. Mark David Chapman had been in South Korea and Japan also. That trip was arranged by a American-Japanese woman who later married him. Now, this Sasakawa has long ties to, in 1976, he was on the board of Zenai Keiga, K-I-I-G-I, the National Council of Patriotic Organizations, and he works with the mobsters there, the Yakuza, and he's the far right-wing group. There are three right-wing terrorists of that group were convicted in the 30s of assassinating the prime ministers. He's still very, very right, and he is part of the World Anti-Communist League. He puts his money into that. State Department documents under Freedom of Information in 1979 to 1981 said Sasakawa is still regarded as Japan's foremost sponsor of extreme ultra-national causes. He's the prime backer of the ultra-right-wing groups which continue to operate in Japan, but they also operate all around the world, and he's dispensing his money all around the world. It isn't just in Japan, as you see, $38 million to the UN to control what UNESCO prints, $1 million down here at UCLA, $770,000 to Linus Pauling, and $45 million for the Institute in Japan, and more and more and more. $18 million of his shipbuilding foundation is spent every year to promote subjects of his choice. His commercials are on television in Japan prime time. They show him exhorting youth and to do good and obey your elders, just as they did in Nazi Germany. The emphasis is on the young generation, what they should do. He wants humanity to make peace, but that means peace without the Soviet Union. We'll get the weapons, and we'll do what we'll have to do, and peace will be without Russia. The United States, the State Department has a biography of him in 1981. It said he thrives on publicity. He finds extensive public exposure is useful as a smokescreen for other activities. He has little use for the present anti-war Japanese constitution and democratic system. And just a few weeks ago, the opponent to Mr. Nakasone was stabbed. He survived that one, but he was stabbed. And they have no use for this anti-war business, even though if they win an election, they lose a spokesman. That's what we have in America. You win an election, you lose a president. If you expose the committees, you can die of your cancer or bullets or whatever. Now, Sasakawa is one of the men who I mentioned a while back when I was talking about Reverend Moon, who put up the money on Reverend Moon. This article goes into that, too. Long involvement with Moon, he helped establish a web of fanatic anti-communism across all of East Asia. And now Moon, of course, is in the United States with a daily newspaper, a book publishing firm I want to do more about next week, and the connections of that to Henry Kissinger and Fritz Kramer. But he's behind Moon from 1963. That was the year that John Kennedy was murdered. He's an advisor to Moon's Unification Church in Japan. It's known as Genri Undo, G-E-N-R-I-U-N-D-O. By 1967, Moon and Sasakawa formed a Japanese branch of the World Anti-Communist League. 1967 was that interim year where Lyndon Johnson soon would be out, and Richard Nixon would be in 1968, and then Reverend Moon in all his glory came forward, and we got a good view of Reverend Moon and the use of him with demonstrations to affect American politics. Sasakawa's connections to the CIA go from Japan, United States. They go to Italy, they go to Southeast Asia, South America, all over the world. And as I said before, he formed this foundation in New York. It's called the Japan U.S. Foundation. The foundation has this Richard Petrie of the Central Intelligence Agency. His grants are allegedly highly charitable, nursing homes, Japanese immigrants, conservative public colleges, public television, and as I said last week, cancer research. This article said Reverend Moon should go down in our history books as one of the modern era's great con men. He makes money go. He is one of the great early right-wing political manipulators, a Japanese power broker who stretched from Tsugami Prison to Central Park, Tsugami Prison and Henry Luce, and Central Park to 72nd East. He runs a gambling racket. He does as he pleases. He wants the Nobel Prize. He's the world's wealthiest fascist. I suppose that would be a toss-up, but maybe he is. But he certainly is the wealthiest war criminal that has continued with this activity and been so successful, getting these honors. So there's Henry Kissinger working with this Sasakawa, becoming a journalist now as if it isn't bad enough, going all over to colleges and corporations, but Kissinger having regular articles in the Los Angeles Times, and then they'll be quoted in other papers and picked up, and in the Washington Post, giving him so much credibility for being so rotten. Sasakawa and Moon working together with Henry Kissinger, and the whole connection of the anti-communist to the point of fascism, the early people that worked with Mussolini or Hitler, the funding of the CIA, the CIA board on their foundation, the dispensing of money, and trying to get respectability. There's one other article I may have time to do on Sasakawa here before I close, and I'll be updating more next week. As I say, I'm going back to Edwin Meese, but I just had to discuss this person because so many people will tap into him that I thought before I rush along on the sleazy Meese gate, I would, you like that? Okay. The sleazy Meese gate, I would take time and go to Sasakawa because we can go back to him like I did Charles Willoughby over and over again, and Moon and Kissinger, they're so important, and Fritz Kramer and Sven Kramer, National Security Council, who works with Reverend Moon and that gang and the Korea Gate people that, again, were allegedly investigated and never prosecuted. There was one article, it was sent to me by a listener, it was 1981 in the newspaper, Japan's Al Capone, Laundered Money and Reputations. And this is a story about Henry Kissinger was to have a special fund by the Sasakawa family, and allegedly Kissinger turned it down. He didn't want it up front. The money was the $47 million for Henry Kissinger. He was on the board of that New York Japan Foundation, but originally he was to be a special consultant in 1980 to the Sasakawa family. I have one thing in common with the National Labor Caucus. Again, people don't like me to say it. They think that Henry Kissinger is the worst disease on planet Earth, and I happen to agree with them. And somebody who is that smart to figure out what's going on, in fact, they turned me on to the menace of Kissinger, can't be all wrong. There may be some bad, and you may not like me for giving them credit for it or even mentioning my name on the air. I think mentioning Lyndon LaRouche is more brings out more response than if I talk about the Zionists of the Vatican. People get very emotional about that. We'll go into that more in a few weeks to come. But in the meantime, this is Mae Bressel. We'll be back with Meesegate next week, and they're all various crimes in Washington. But I did want you to get the Sasakawa. I'll be back with you next week. This is KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California.